You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, November 11th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com, kicking off your work week. And I'm rolling with another edition of Daily Mail Monday. This may be a new niche, a new thing I do for a while. For one thing, because it's fairly low effort. It's fairly low effort on my part. I can scroll through the Daily Mail on Monday morning and we can find all kinds of topics to discuss. As I said last week on the first installment of Daily Mail Monday, I won't be reading these whole lengthy, stupid, wordy articles, just rolling through a few headlines and a few paragraphs and taking what we can get from there. It gives us a lot of different topics to cover. And with that having been said, our first story, last week in our first installment of Daily Mail Monday, which was titled African Adventure Gone Wrong, we have an update. We have an update on the African Adventure Gone Wrong. If you didn't catch that show, this guy was a missionary and took his whole family over there for an Africa adventure of missionary work and wound up dead. And his wife has been arrested for conspiring to have him murdered. Well, life comes at you fast on Daily Mail Monday. We got an update, a shocking reason. We have an update to the story. And the headline of this story is, shocking reason, Minnesota pastor's wife had him murdered by two hitmen during Angola mission. I hope all of you listening right now, I hope you have yourself strapped in for this ever so shocking. Nobody could have seen this coming. Motivation. A pastor's wife had him murdered because, drum roll please, she was having an affair with a couple's security guard in Angola. According to police, Jackie Schroyer, 44, is accused of being the mastermind of her husband Bo Schroyer's murder in the African nation where the missionary couple had moved with their five children in 2019. Bo, 44, was killed on October 25th after he was lured into a remote area. His hometown church in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, announced last week. Police say Jackie, who was arrested days after the murder, paid three men the equivalent of $50,000 to kill her husband. Two have been arrested while a third remains on the loose. Jackie was having an affair with one of the hitmen, Bernardino Elias, 24, who worked at the family's home as a security guard, according to officials. So, you take your middle-aged wife, the mother of your children, on an African adventure. Don't be surprised when you get this shocking turnabout and you wind up with a knife stabbed in you in the middle of nowhere in Africa because you thought it was just... What goes through people's minds? You know, I just... People walk through this world with this certain level of naivety. It's going to go do this missionary work. Packs up his wife, his five kids, and shock of shocks, she winds up screwing the security guard. And that's not enough. As we went through the article, like I say, I'm not reading the whole article, but basically there were plans to, you know, eventually leave Angola, and she did not want to leave. See, she didn't want the Africa. It's kind of like if you take your, imagine you take your family on a vacation and you go to some beautiful resort somewhere and you know how it feels. You go and you're going to spend 3 days at this beautiful resort. You're tanning and you out there in the sun and you may be swimming, you know, and you're having a good time. You're going out to eat every night. You're really just taking a break from the wear and tear, the stress of daily life. But see, day one is just like, oh wow, this is so awesome. Day two, you're like, I could stay here forever. But when you're on like day three and like tomorrow you're going to have to leave, you start being like kind of down. You know, it's like, man, I wish this could just go on forever. You see, that's how his wife was. She'd gone on this African adventure. And you see why he's out trying to preach Jesus to the tribes in Angola and out there digging wells and plowing fields with a hoe and being such a good person. She's back at the house getting railed on by the Angolan security guard with a long criminal record because, of course, he has a long criminal. You see, it's like that. You just, as you and your family are like, man, I wish we could just stay here forever. See, that's how this guy's wife felt. They're talking about going back to the humdrum life. And she's like, I want to continue my African adventure. So she drums up $50,000. $50,000. In Angola, she probably could have paid, had this done for $50. She paid $50,000 in Angola and couldn't even hire anyone competent enough to kill this guy. She could have paid the police $50,000 and they would have done it themselves and she wouldn't have had to. Anyway, do not take your wife on an African adventure because you see, these are the sort of outcomes you can get. You wind up with a surprising, shocking revelation in the Daily Mail. So I thought I would share that. I know all of you last week when we had that story, y'all were like, I wonder if it's true. If it's true that the wife was the one who had him killed, you were all sitting there going, what in the world? What in the world could have been her motivation? And I'm sure every one of you, like me, is just, all of you are just as shocked as I am to discover, ever so shocking motivation here. What else do we have? It wouldn't be Daily Mail. It wouldn't be the Daily Mail if you didn't have your classic Daily Mail Ukraine propaganda. And this is, I picked this story because it's humorous. For those of you who may not know, the Daily Mail has just been top-notch and having some of the most ridiculous Ukraine war propaganda that you can imagine. Well, now that it's so obvious, no one can deny that the Ukraine is losing badly. This story is kind of humorous because you watch Daily Mail try to somehow square that circle. Admit that the Ukraine is losing, but try to keep up their previous ridiculous stories. And this headline is, Russia suffers deadliest day of its Ukraine invasion with 1,770 troops killed or wounded as Putin masses thousands of soldiers to reclaim Kursk. Russia has suffered its deadliest day of the war in Ukraine so far with 1,770 soldiers killed or wounded in just 24 hours. This, no doubt, is legitimate information. What are the sources? Oh, according to figures released by Kyiv. See, I'm totally going to trust sources from a city with a made-up name. Vladimir Putin's forces have lost. Vladimir Putin's forces have lost 710,660 troops since the beginning. They should just go. He's lost 6 million. I wish they would just go all the way in and claim he's lost 6 million troops. He's lost 710,660 troops since the beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion. It was a full-scale invasion. That's why no bombs, you know, that's why Lviv, Kiev, and all those places haven't been flattened because of his full-scale invasion or whatever. Let's see here. Since his full-scale invasion 3 years ago, the General Staff of Ukraine Armed Forces said today, well, that sounds legit, despite the heavy losses, Moscow is pushing forward with its meat assaults and continues to advance at its fastest rate since 2022. Now, you love this. It's Russia that's doing meat assaults. See, it's Russia that's feeding troops into the meat grinder, but then they have to follow that up with, well, yeah, they are making a lot of grains. They're just feeding in the meat assaults. You see, they're just throwing all of these people at the Ukrainians, but they are making advances. Kyiv said last week its forces had clashed with some of the estimated 11,000 North Korean soldiers sent to the region to support Moscow, with some experts saying their deployment could be partially due to the heavy Russian losses. See, all these heavy Russians, they've lost 710,000. That's why you see all of these videos of these press gangs in Moscow grabbing guys off the street and stuffing them in vans. Because you see, they've suffered such heavy losses in their meat assaults. And now the North Koreans are coming with a whopping 11,000. On the one hand, they're claiming they've lost over 700,000. Russia has lost over 700,000 troops. And then on the other hand, they're claiming that 11,000 North Korean troops are going to somehow make a difference after, you know, what kind of difference would 11,000 troops lost if you're also claiming they lost 700,000? That doesn't even rise to the level of drop in the bucket. Volodymyr Zelensky said at the time of the August incursion into Kursk that taking of Russian territory could serve as a bargaining chip with Moscow, but stretched by manpower shortages, Ukrainian forces have lost some of the ground that they captured in the August incursion and have continued to lose large swaths of its own territory. The record number of daily Russian losses, which surpasses the previous week of 1,730 in a day back in May, is broadly in line with estimates from Western countries. The number of Russian soldiers killed and injured averaged 1,500 every single day, UK Chief of Defense Staff Tony Radakin told the BBC on Sunday. Now, if this sounds really convoluted, it's because it is. This is what they're saying. On the one hand, they admit, because it's so obvious now, they can't just ignore it. Before, they were ignoring it. We've reached that tipping point. They can no longer know it. Now, they're saying Russia lost over 700,000 troops. But then down here, they have to admit that it's the Ukrainians that are suffering from manpower shortages. You see, if that doesn't make any sense to you, it's because they're lying. Also, they're claiming Russia's lost over 700,000 troops, and yet it is the Ukraine that's having manpower shortages. And here, as they say, Ukraine has continued to lose large swaths of its own territory. Now, let's think about this, because this is the way it always works, right? The side that is losing the most amount of troops, 700,000, is the side that's also gaining large swaths of territory. See, that just makes total sense. Russia's lost 700,000 troops, yet it is the Ukraine, they admit, is having manpower shortages. The Ukraine has captured Kursk and doing all this stuff, but at the same time, they're losing large swaths of territory. It is funny to sit here and watch these propaganda articles try to square themselves. Because as I said before, the Daily Mail has said some of the most, like anything that comes out of Kiev is like, doesn't matter how absurd, the Daily Mail will print it up like it's a serious news story with serious sources that you could totally take seriously. And now the losses are so evident. They can't deny it, but they're trying to still keep things in line. So you wind up with stories like this. Russia has lost over 700,000 troops and continues to gain large swaths of territory because the Ukrainians are having manpower shortages, though they have not lost hundreds of thousands of troops, you see. And after losing 700,000 troops, they're trying to shore themselves up desperately with 11,000 North Koreans or something. It's just funny to watch liars try to back up, you know, their previous lies with more and more absurd lies. This is coming to the point where I'm wondering when I've said this before, and I pointed it out in this article. They come up with this ridiculous narrative of Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, when obviously it's anything but a full-scale invasion. And I think one of the reasons they do that is that when this winds down inevitably, honestly, probably within the next 6 months, but I don't know, but when it inevitably winds down and it's undeniable that Ukraine has lost, see, then the narrative will be, no, they didn't lose because, you see, Russia had a full-scale invasion. And since they didn't get to take all of Kiev, and all of Ukraine, you see, that means they lost. You see, they had to just settle for all the stuff they happened to say that was all they were going to do at the first place. But you see, is the media who said they did a full-scale invasion, and since they didn't take the full-scale country, that means Putin. Take that, Putler. Next up, I've got a story that you should remember every time that the media tells you to trust the science. You see, we have to trust the science. And one of the ways that we trust the science is you have these peer-reviewed scientific articles. If you have an article that comes out in a prestigious scientific magazine, it's got to be true. Headline, editor of America's oldest magazine faces calls to resign after issuing groveling apology for anti-Trump rant. The editor of America's oldest magazine is now facing calls for her resignation after issuing a groveling apology for her anti-Trump rant earlier in the week. Laura Helmuth, the editor-in-chief of Scientific American, which has been published continually since 1845, went on a rampage against Trump supporters in posts to social media, describing them, I would say shockingly, describing them as fascists, racists, and sexists. But Helmuth has now walked back her comments, claiming she was shocked and confused when she made them, likely in a bid to save her job. Now, let's take a look at some of the offending tweets. The offending tweets here. Let's see. Solidarity to everybody whose meanest, dumbest, and most bigoted high school classmates are celebrating early results because F them to the moon and back. Every 4 years, I remember why I left Indiana, where I grew up, and remember why I respect the people who stayed and are trying to make it less racist and sexist. The moral arc of the universe isn't going to bend itself. Any advice for what workplaces can do to help people who are devastated by the election? Thank you so much. This woman is the editor-in-chief, by the way. Editor-in-chief. That means what gets published comes across her desk. It means she's the editor-in-chief. That means she has, if not the final say-so, definitely a big say-so. And what is going to get published and what is going to not get published. Now, let's say you're a PhD. You're working hard. You're doing a good job. And you've compiled a study, which wouldn't be very difficult to do, if I'm being honest, but you've compiled a study with all of the scientific backing available, proving that climate change is a stupid hoax, which it is, and is just being perpetuated by the media for a definite political agenda. And you've got, and you send it into Scientific America, your scientific research, and it rolls across this bitch's desk. What do you think? Where do you think your research is going to go? Let's say you do some research on any number of these issues of the day. You do an issue, you do a scientific research that says a man will never be a woman, and it rolls across the Hellmouth's desk there. Where are your research going to go? This is one of the things worth pointing out whenever the media appeals to authority. You have to trust the experts. You see, the experts know. The experts, you got to trust. Have you ever been published in Scientific American? I don't think so. You're just some random person on the internet. You haven't ever been published in a publication like Scientific American. We're appealing to this article in Scientific American that totally proves climate change is real. You conspiracy theory wackos are just out there making up fake news. You need to be put in check by the fact checkers. You're supposed to trust the experts. You're supposed to trust the science. When here you have a story, I don't really care about her anti-Trump rants, but it's illustrative. This is the editor-in-chief of a scientific magazine. Now, of course, they're trying to do the whole, well, this didn't have anything to do with my job. This was on my personal account. That's not the point. The point, of course, for starters, we just have to go ahead and say it. Yeah, those excuses never worked when they were going after nationalists, did it? It never worked when they were going after right-wing people, did it? They just got fired anyway, and these people snickered and laughed, and now she's trying to do the, oh, well, that was on my personal account. It didn't have anything to do with my job. What it's illustrative of is a person like this, a real 100% ideologue. There's no way this person who's being this hysterical over something over this political theater in this country. There's no way that is not reflective in her work. So when the media tries to say, trust the science, trust the experts, trust these esteemed publications that have been around since the 1800s because they have high standards and they know what they're doing, this is the person who gets to decide what and what is not published in something like Scientific American. You do well to remember this story and others like it. The next time these people berate you for not accepting their appeals to authority, when they call you names for not, quote unquote, trusting the science and all of the rest of it, this tells you how flat their appeals to authority are, because all they're doing is appealing to what amounts to their own authority. Next up, we got a story near and dear to my heart. Headline revealed the states Americans are moving to in droves to cash in on lower cost of living and zero state income tax. Americans are fleeing to southern states lured in by the low cost of living and absence of a state income tax. Census data revealed an estimated 611,942, which is not quite as many people as the Ukraine claims, not quite as high a number as Russians who have been slaughtered in the Ukraine meat grinder. An estimated 611,942 people moved from their home states to Texas, and approximately 636,933 moved to Florida from 2022 to 2023, according to data released in October. California lost the most residents to Texas. This is a blackpilling story. California lost the most residents to Texas, with an estimated 93,970 people relocating to the Lone Star State. Former Golden State residents said they were motivated to relocate to affordable housing, cheaper living costs, and to cut their tax bills. I was looking at a deal here a while back, and this topic had come up. Needless to say, the comments directed towards Californians moving to other states were overall somewhat, shall we classify, as somewhat negative. And somebody in the comments from California was like, you know, why y'all like this? Why y'all like this? Why y'all being like this towards us? And somebody responded and answered that question with, because we hate you. And and you laugh. But it is kind of, sort of, yeah, pretty much true. But there's a reason. There's a reason for it. I've laughed and joked for years, back even when Trump was in the first time, that he should build the wall, but it should be built around California. Just to protect the other states. Why? Why is it that people in every other state, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's not just a Texas thing. You say, well, you Texans, y'all just, it doesn't matter. I remember years ago when Californians were moving en masse to Colorado, and you asked anybody from Colorado how they felt about that. It doesn't matter where they move to. The native populations tend to have this same, shall we say, attitude. It is this. It's similar to as if California. If California, you have to come to the conclusion, if Californians, if there were enough states, and if Californians were able to, say, move to 109 different states and everybody hated them there, it's everybody else's fault, if you hear what I'm saying. Now, I know. Nay cult and all that. Not all Californians are like that. We know. But let's go ahead. Let's just go ahead and be brutally honest. Now, it says here in the article, former Golden State residents said they are motivated to relocate for affordable housing, cheaper living costs, and to cut their tax bills. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is why people in every other state hate you. Because here's how it generally works. Person from California sells their, 500 square foot little shanty house for $6 million or some ridiculous overinflated bullshit sum. And then they move to another state. We'll just say Texas, because that's the topic of the story here. They moved to Texas with their $1 million, $6 million, whatever they got for their little shanty shack in California. They buy a nice home for, say, $800,000. A few years ago, it would have been $300,000 or $400,000. But you see, because they're influxing, they're driving the price of the housing up. They buy a house for, say, $500,000 to $700,000. We'll do that. They buy a house for $500,000 to $700,000. Now they got all this money left over in the bank. For some reason, for the average Californian, this gets into their mind. This means they're smarter than everybody else, because after all, I've got all this money in the bank, and that must mean I'm smarter than these stupid hicks living here. Because I've got all this money in the bank. I sold my house for a ton of money in California, and I'm able here, and these idiots are selling me this big nice house for a fraction of what I got for a little shanty shack in California. These people must be stupid. And I don't care. You sit here and deny it all you want. It is always, most always reflected in their attitude. The next thing, the next reason, top reasons why people in other states hate Californians when they move there. Immediately, they want you to know, because they're so smart, they sold their house, their shanty shack, for millions of dollars in California and moved here. And they want you to know how smart they are. And they will never, ever, 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 ever miss the opportunity to let you know, be sure that you know they came from California. They're going to let you. You don't have to guess. And if you do have to guess, it's easy to spot. Most of the time in casual conversation, they are going to find the opportunity to slip in, well, in California, the way we did it. Because it was so great. It was so swell. You can also tell it in the way they behave. The things they take seriously. The things they get whipped up about. You hear stories and everybody has the same reaction. What part of California are you from? Exactly. And they're like, shocked. What do you mean? How did you know? And finally, they will come here. And a lot of them settle in Austin, which is the colorectal cancer of Texas, because this is where a lot of these people. And unfortunately, it is the state capital. And they all come here. And then almost immediately, they start pushing for laws to make things here just like they were in California. Oh my gosh, you don't have a law against that? Oh my gosh. How can you not have a law? We've got to start lobbying our state representatives. We need laws like this so it'll be civilized like California was. They start trying to remake it because now they came from California and they're so much smarter than you and you're so backwards, they need to bring you to the light by making your state just like the hellhole they fled from, because it can't be a hellhole because of anything they supported. And it doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter where they go, they do this same pattern. That's why it's not just Texas. You say, well, you Texans, it's no. Like I said, I remember years ago, they were all going to California. It was the end thing to relocate to Colorado. I'm sorry, Colorado. And people in Colorado would say these exact same things about these people. That's one of the reasons why, you know, in all honesty, I really, the future is secession. And people can stay and live the way they want to. You know, people live up in the Northeast, Californians, people live in the Northwest, people live in the South, people live in Texas. We all have a different way that we view the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is the fact that they just flee for we don't have anything in common. I guess that's what I want to say. And yet we have this overall national policy. We have this overall national policy being set by people who have a completely different worldview than you do. Why should you have to submit to that? It's one of the things that's highlighted in the hysterics over this political theater we've been going through. We just completed with the election theater. And why, when you have significant segments of the population that have these extremely divergent views of the country they want to live in, one side or the other is not going to get what they want. Where you could just break up the country and then everybody could have what they want. People that want to live in a California hellhole utopia can go do that. But people who don't want to do that can have their own way. Why should you force half the country to live in a manner that they don't want, that they don't want to live in? It doesn't make any sense. You break it up into separate countries and then build a wall around California so they can't go invade anybody else and they can go live in their utopia with all of their laws, sipping from their paper straws. saving the climate. And their $6 million 500 square foot shanty shack or whatever. Another favorite thing is like they move here. And the first summer, like they'll come here and pick out their house, you know, in the spring or in the fall. And they move here, and then the first summer rolls around, and then they're just they want to do nothing but bitch about the heat. It's like you moved to Texas. You moved to Texas. Did you not bother to really look into how hot it gets here? Because I'm going to tell you, if you live in California or anywhere else in this country and you're thinking, maybe I want to move to Texas. Hell, GPD lives there. It's got to be the place to be. I'm going to tell you 100% up front, when people talk about it gets hot in the summer in Texas, they're not lying. That's not an exaggeration. It's a, and you may be thinking, see, people from California be like, well, yeah, well, I went for summer vacation in Arizona one time. So Arizona is a desert. So yeah, we get it. We get heat. No, you don't. Arizona is a different kind of heat. It's high elevation, low altitude heat. You look at the thermometer and go, wow, it's hot, but you're not dying. You see, in Texas, you take the 100 and something triple degree heat, and then you get to, depending on what part of the state you're in, of course, you go ahead sometimes and shovel 70-80% humidity on that. You see, and you it's like you can't breathe. I can't breathe because it's so damn hot. But I tell you up front, it gets hot here. And don't show up bitching about the heat and talk about, oh my gosh, this must be proof of global warming and climate change, because there's no way this place has always been this hot. Trust me, it has always been this hot. Don't come here at all. And damn sure don't come here and whine about the final story. This guy is still your president, by the way, and will be your president for another month or so. Unsteady Joe Biden stumbles as he battles through the sands on the beaches of Normandy. No, on the beach in Delaware, sparking fresh concern for the leader of the free world. President Joe Biden was spotted battling with the sand near his home in Delaware over the weekend as First Lady Jill Biden was slammed for not helping him. The 81-year-old was seen struggling to make his way down Gordon's Pond Trail in Rehoboth Beach near his home on Sunday as he took a walk. Biden nearly face-planted as he shuffled nervously over the hazardous terrain. It's beach sand! The hazardous terrain of beach sand. Now, I know most of you are like me. Like, I listen to a show like this, and there may be links in the description page, and you don't ever click the link. I don't ever click the links. Click the link on this, please. I'm asking you. Click the link and watch the video. It's telling. I wanted to say it's hilarious because it is, but we shouldn't laugh like that at the elderly, but I did anyway. Because this guy's still your president. I've been saying this since it became so obvious during the Trump debate that they couldn't pretend anymore that he isn't gone. And they said, well, he can't run again. But yet nobody had a problem with him still remaining, quote unquote, the president. Like, that's not a problem. He has too much dimension to dimension. He's in another dimension because he has too much dementia to run for president again. But allegedly running the country, no problem. Obviously, this guy hasn't been running anything, which tells you something as well. This guy hasn't been running anything. The guy can't navigate beach sand. Reporters nearby who recorded the scene could be heard gasping as he stumbled down the sand, seemingly anticipating that he was going to fall. Social media users have since criticized Jill Biden for seemingly not offering her husband a helping hand. Well, at least he didn't take her on an African adventure. He just took her for an adventure on the beach. I've had a long time saying that when you get older, because if you live long enough, obviously you're going to get older, and you have to make certain decisions in your life. And one of those decisions is when you're getting close to that time that you have to admit that you shouldn't be driving a car any longer. And I believe one of those telling tales, because I observe people A lot of people, they drive around in traffic and they're just straight ahead. They don't make eye contact with anybody. I do the opposite. I drive around, I'm looking at people all the time. I observe people all the time. And I always say one of the signs, one of the top signs that you need to start considering that it may be time for you to stop driving. When you reach this point that you are unable to drive a car around without your mouth hanging open, I'm doing it here as if you could see it. When you can't drive a car without your mouth hanging open, that's the world's way of telling you it's time to stop driving. Likewise, when you reach a point that you can't navigate beach sand without almost falling and without your mouth hanging open, it's time to consider stopping pretending to be president. And here you have these people that take this theater. So this guy has obviously and observably, he's not running the country now. He wasn't running the country a year ago. He hasn't been running the country. He hasn't been doing the job of the president for 4 years. So who has? This should be a legitimate question. Heck, somebody should make a study and maybe they can publish it in Scientific American. Then maybe we could get some answers from the experts. I do. I laugh because people take this theater so seriously. And to take it seriously, you have to say this guy has been running the country 4 years. Watch the video. Click on this and watch the video. And then ask yourself, who the hell's been running the country? Because it obviously has not been this guy. We'll wrap it up on that note. I hope you enjoyed. I'm enjoying doing Daily Mail Monday. I plan for the foreseeable future to keep doing this. I may change my mind at some point. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. And like I said earlier, it makes things easier. Because see, I do the Daily Nationalist on Friday. And I kind of usually try to wrap up kind of stories of the week. Generally speaking, I'll record my regular Parish of the Patriots show on Saturdays, and then I got to turn around Monday and do another Daily Nationalist. Usually, not a lot happens over the weekend. So, what the hell? What do I got to talk about? The Daily Mail, it's like a gold mine. It's a gold mine of podcast content, and I plan to keep mining it, at least for the foreseeable future. We're going to wrap up on that note. I will be back tomorrow for the Parish of the Patriots. It will be better than this show. I think this was a fun show, but yeah, I'm a little biased. You don't want to miss Parish of the Patriots tomorrow. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist show. Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his Daily Nationalist show. Always a must-catch show. And I do plan to be back here on Friday. Wrap up your week with the bookend, the other side of the bookend for the week. For the Daily Nationalist. So I hope you'll get a chance to check it all out. I hope you have a good week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the Nationalist Community.